right, welcome back to the Sherrard Sidelines. Brian Hutton, welcome back to the WRMJ studios. I think a great story, going back to Coach where it all started. Congratulations. You'll look good in purple and gold again.
Well, thank you. It's going to be fun. I think it's definitely enjoyed my 8 years down here in Mercer County, but going back to where I teach and, I think you have a little bit different relationship with the kids when you get to see them in the hallway all the time. I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, and I know it was a nice transition for you to come from Sherrard to Mercer County. So let's first talk about your 8 years at Mercer County. I know when you were let go the first time at Sherrard, I think, did you take 2 years off or just one?
Just one.
And just talk a little bit about the transition and probably the 1 year off. From a professional development standpoint, probably at the time, maybe you didn't think it was good, but when you look back, I'd say it was probably a pretty good idea to maybe sit back and reflect a little bit.
Yeah, I tell you, it's kind of weird. You know, at times when you're going through difficult times in your life, you think, why is this happening? You get angry with people. You start taking a look and saying, what's going on? But I tell you, I think it was a great learning experience for me. Now I look back on it. I think I grew up a lot as a basketball coach when I took the year off. But also when I came down to Mercer County, I had to do a lot of reflection. And as sometimes you get caught up in the moment, you forget to reflect on yourself. And I spent a lot of time that year off. And plus the 8 years out here. And what did I do to cause the problems? What did I do that got myself in a little bit of trouble up at Sherrard as far as coaching-wise? And so it is one of those things. You take a look at what you do, and I think I did. I think I grew up a lot as a coach. I handled things a little bit differently. Still got a little bit of fire, as a lot of people who know me, and I want to get pretty intense with some of the things we do. But overall, I think I treat kids a little bit different than I did when I was first at Sherrard.
But you can't change too much. You know, because if you do that, you're – yeah. Not the coach you're meant to be or want to be. You have to be you, as I say.
Yeah, and you got to. As a coach, you have to be true to yourself to some extent. There has to be certain things that you're just saying, this is the way we're going to do it. And, you know, I believe the big thing that I take a look at now is you don't have to be a crazy man to have high expectations. And so the high expectations will always be there. It's something I'm going to demand. You know, we do some things that are a little outdated maybe when you talk about coaching. And, you know, we talk about hustling, maybe doing the lines. That means when there's a timeout, you hustle over to the huddle. When halftime ends, you hustle off the floor. And that's a little bit of a training thing you have to do with the kids. And sometimes they want to buck that a little bit. But in the end, you have to have those high expectations if you want to have those great results.
Well, and I guess that's the one philosophy I know when I coached junior high, what I kind of appreciated about when you were coaching here, and I didn't realize this a lot, you know, about, you know, leaning up against the wall. I mean, that's a way to drive you bananas. And then I thought if you talk about, like, we talk a lot about kind of heat of the moment, that in today's society, people don't understand heat of the moment, especially in the course of, like, interscholastic events, you know, and you have to be careful with heat of the moment. And I think even after heat of the moment, people don't understand that sometimes. You almost have to apologize for it. And that's kind of the sad part of it. But what I'm getting at, I thought the biggest, like, heat of the moment for you, and I'm not even going to cite the kid at Mercer County, is you talk about running off the court. I know that rule. And it was a JV game at Rock Falls. And I'm like, what's Hutton going crazy for? And he's like, well, some kid's walking across the floor. He's not running. He said to tell him a couple times, you know the rule, don't walk off the floor. That's not a hard rule to comprehend.
No, it's not. It's not.
And I think, too, people can't get upset if that's the rule. And you don't follow said rule, especially not one time, not two times, not three times. I still say, yeah, let them have it.
Yeah, and I think that's sometimes what people forget. And it's hard, I think, and I think coaches will all understand this, is you invest so much time and so much effort in trying to build not just a team but also a program overall as far as your expectations. And it does. It gets frustrating sometimes when you have certain kids. And kids are going to, you know, kids are kids, and they're going to do what comes natural to them sometimes. And you have to train. You have to teach habits. And a lot of times people overlook the idea of hustling. It's a habit. It's something you have to teach them to do. And that's why we do what we do. It's not because I have, you know, I want to get an extra 2 or 3 seconds at a timeout or anything else like that. It's just that I want you, when you're on the floor, understand the idea that we're going to hustle every time we're on the floor in everything that we do. And so a lot of times it's one of those things that when people look at, why is he going so crazy about this? Because you don't understand how much time and effort coaches put in to trying to build the program they want to have. And when you have one or two kids that don't follow those expectations, it can kind of damage the program. And so that's the difficult part, is trying to get people to understand that aspect of it.
Yeah, and that's the other thing of 17 other kids know the rule and are doing it, and then one kid doesn't, and if he continues not to do it, then what is your response or your solution? I guess I remember you first started at Mercer County. It was the first year after the consolidation, right? And I know from a coaching standpoint, all coaches, like, they devote their time and energy to every team. We all get that. But we also understand that sometimes the connection between coach and player or team is different from year to year, and sometimes that connection's a little stronger. And I thought your first couple years at Mercer County, the connection you had were unbelievable for really kind of being a new guy. Because what year was it we won the LTC tournament? I should say Mercer County, not we, but when Mercer County won the LTC tournament, what year, was that your first year?
Yeah, first year. Yeah, Brett Anderson. And
it was at Kewaunee Weathersfield.
Yeah.
And I remember we went to Taco Bell at the end of the game. And I thought it was nice because the kids, then they brought the LTC, like, trophy into the Taco Bell, and you were eating with some of the coaches, and I came in, and I sat down with you. And I remember some of the kids, like, was Spencer Islamoski, he was on that
yep.
team, right? And they're like, Coach, will you sit with us? And you're like, no, I'm going to sit with these guys. And they're just, I mean, those are, like, the connections that are outside the game that you kind of, for me, I would assume that those are the kind of connections you appreciate and remember the most.
Well, and I tell you, that's the thing that when you take a look at it, we talked before about the difficult times, whether you're getting fired from a job or hired a new one. Is when you get email messages from kids, it just means the world. And sometimes it's so humbling going, boy, this is what this kid thought of me. I thought we had a lot of tension, a lot of issues between them, but the messages you get from them, and it's one of those things where I still see some of the kids around. Brett Anderson, you know, if he's listening, he's still going, where is my highlight film? You promised me a highlight film when we won a championship, and Brett, I'm still working on it. I promise I'll get it to you. But it's nice when you get a chance to talk to those kids, and there's so many great kids, and I really, when you talk about really loving 8 years of your life, I've really enjoyed my time down in Mercer County, and the kids were just fantastic. And the parents were fantastic as well, and so I thought we got things going here. You know, we didn't get where we wanted to go as far as competing for championships year in and year out, but I think we made some progress. But the kids have just been incredible.
And I know it's a football first community here. I know
it
that.
Is.
Yeah. Well, and I know there can be debate. People will say, well, you know, the wrestling program. Yeah, the wrestling program's quality. The baseball program is strong. But it's still, you know, I still tell people it's a, you know, football first community, and by that, you know, with success that you want to reestablish in football and play deep into the playoffs, which was happening in the past, you know, the people come out to those games. But you brought up, you know, like Brett Anderson, people will first say quarterback football, but I'm telling you, I still argue that he was a better basketball player than he was a football player. Now, if he's listening, he's going to say, Taylor, come on, I was equally as good in both sports. And I tell people another kid that played here, and it was before your time, and he was a state championship quarterback on two football teams here, and he coached for 4 years short football, Brett Lee. I tell people Brett Lee was a better basketball player than he was a football player.
And
he was lights out. He never missed in basketball.
No, and he's one of those kids. I remember, too, when we used to get ready, when I was still coaching at Sherrard, we'd get ready to play Alito then, and we'd say, when he comes up to the volleyball spike line, we have to guard him, because I've never seen a kid with the range that kid had, and it just looked so effortless for him. But, you know, you take a look at Brett Anderson. I don't know if I ever coached a kid that could get from zero to his top speed as fast as he could. You know, I mean, he may never be the fastest kid I ever coached, but he could accelerate so quickly, and I agree with you. I mean, I saw him play football, and he had obviously a great football career. But I still look at that kid would have dedicated as much time to basketball as he did to football. He would have been unstoppable.
Remember that year when Tanner Benson threw in that corner shot? And it was like the Connor Sharp bank shot.
Yep.
And was it against Weathersfield, too? But it was
no, actually, that's against Rova in the LTC championship game, the tournament. He banked that. Because that's right. I knew when he hit that one, we were going to win. Because it's like, how does that even happen?
Yeah, and that's the so you look back at your 8 years here too. I still think kind of you can look at kind of being maybe a little bit of a victim of circumstance with kind of the air here at Mercer County, because I thought there have been some pretty good teams, but of course, you know, you look at the 5-year run that Rock Ridge has been on with, you know, when Toby came here and Ethan and Brian Heath. And I mean, then you, like I was telling Whiteman the other day, you know, kids like Lucas Johnson were stars, but they're hardly mentioned. I mean, that, so you're a victim of circumstance, kind of always having to living up to that program and beat that program, which was nearly impossible because of the talent that they had. So you were, I thought you were kind of a victim of circumstance here too with Mercer County with some of the pretty good teams, knowing that that was the team you were eventually going to have to run into.
Yeah, and it is difficult. We were this year heading into, we were pretty excited about the fact when we heard that the regional is going to be at our place, and I thought we could be pretty good by the end of the year. And then, of course, we had some issues with Jacob Dellick getting injured in football season and not having him, and then missing Ben Nichols, who was a big part of our plan heading into the season for a good portion of the season. It made it very difficult, and it was one of those things that I still kind of wonder in the back of my head, what happens if Jacob Dellick comes in healthy and can give us the full Jacob Dellick we saw all summer long, and what happens if we get Ben Nichols to really blend in all year long with the kids, where could we have been? But it's one of those things that as a coach, you just, again, that past year's team, I just appreciated so much. I mean, you talk about a team that just refused to say, we're done, we're not going to finish this thing up. They kept fighting and fighting and fighting, and unfortunately, like you said, we ran into a Rock Ridge team that was far more physical than we do, and hopefully the kids down here understand that, you know what, the weight room is important, because it seems like the teams that gave us the most problems this year were the teams that were physical with us, and they've got to get stronger.
Well, and I look at kind of, you know, what is coming back from a Mercer County standpoint. To me, you know, it's a regional championship team next year. That there are some good players, and I think, to me, it starts right now with the Jordan Metcalf, the development of him in this program. And I think you really deserve a lot of credit for that, you and the staff. So I want to make sure that you get some of that credit, because you're going to be gone next year, but that kid has become such a great player. And, you know, he's still a ways away from the ceiling for him. So, I mean, why I tell people in the listening audience, you better be concerned about defending that kid next year.
Yeah, he can be a phenomenal player his senior year, and he has. And I thank you for giving me some credit, but I Jordan Metcalf deserves the majority of credit. That kid loves basketball.
He always has a ball in his hand.
Yeah, he does, and he's one of those kids that he came in as a sophomore, and he has just learned and learned. He absorbs everything you throw at him. I've already talked to a couple of college coaches to take a look at him, and you know, maybe it's a kid that you take a chance on at the college level just because of the fact that he has a great skill set, and you're exactly right. The ceiling is very, very high still for him, and I think that he's going to be a tough kid to guard. He's got a nice 15 to 17 foot jump shot that he can hit consistently, but he also, I tell you what, sometimes this year watching him rebound was just fun. Mm-hmm. I mean, he just go and get the ball, and once he gets a little stronger, a little more physical, he's going to be a tough player to defend. But you know, you go right down the list. You know, Q, I talked to Q a little bit at our guy. We gathered the kids up at Tally's and kind of talked to them a little bit about me leaving. And I just said, I don't even know how to game plan for you next year. Mm-hmm. Because as a kid that can catch the ball and get it off so quickly and his shot's so smooth. And then his brother, I think, you know, Rashawn always gives a hard, I have a hard time, give him a hard time, because I think that he just has the world in front of him as a basketball player. And you know, I know when he was younger, he said, I don't even know I'm going to play basketball. Everybody would help you do like Q. And I said, you're going to be better than Q. You just keep pushing yourself. But it's interesting to see, because like I said, that team, and then Jaden Delt's one of those kids that you just look at as kind of a kid that he's the kid every team needs. He's willing to take charges. He's willing to mix it up with people he shouldn't probably mix it up with. And then Anthony Ruggles, when he gets his shot going, he's tough. So that's a great starting five for whoever takes over the program down
well,
here.
And that's the thing. They played a majority of the year. I mean, the underclassmen, because, you know, Nichols missed a large chunk of the season, and then Jacob Dellett's injury from football. So those younger kids logged the most minutes last year with the program.
Yeah, and then you have Jeff Garrett and Dre Essig, who, you know, at the beginning of the season, we said, you know, especially with Jeff, because he played a little bit as a freshman for us towards the end of the season last year. It's like, you know, we weren't planning on giving him huge minutes, but he has pushed into that role, and I thought he responded extremely well for us. And then Trey Essig is another kid that, you know, watching him play this summertime, going, that kid's going to be a pretty good player when he gets up to the varsity level, but we had no intention of using him heading into the season. And, in fact, he missed the regional because he went, I think, skiing in Colorado with family. He goes, Coach, I never planned on playing varsity basketball. I go, well, in fairness to you, I go, we didn't really plan on using him much, but I thought he had a great season for us as well.
You know, and when you coach basketball, I tell people it's easier to see the emotion up close and personal because you're in a gym. And I can tell people that I see the same emotion when I did like sidelines, the same emotion football because I'm next to them. But at a football game, you're shielded a good 50 to 70 to 80 yards where you can't see. And more importantly, you can't hear. But you know, I want to tell people too, so I can easily say, man, certain situations, tone it down a little bit. But it's easy to see that. But then, you know, if people can be always critical of, are you too hard or are you too demanding on kids? And I'm not, this show's not going to be about that today. But I just want to tell people, you know, when you do that, you have to then kind of turn it around the other way and say, well, what about, you know, the pat on the back or the hug or the reassuring or the encouragement that you don't maybe see that. And like I went on your Twitter account, love coaching this team, missed them already. If you've not met our seniors, Ben, Jacob, Adam, and Erlins, you should. Great young men.
Yeah.
That's pretty nice.
Yeah. It is.
I get into heat a moment. You know, the cooling off period. What is people, because I tell people the sideline demeanor for me is the rope-a-dope. That people can say, sideline demeanor. You know, that's what oft-wrangle at so-called Allman. And I thought Pat was doing a great job, but what do I know? I guess coaching is so subjective. So you can say sideline demeanor in one breath, but then don't you have to turn around and say, well, he's still supportive of the kids. And maybe the kids don't understand that anymore. I don't know.
Well, I think they do. I think they, when they get away from as you keep saying, the heat of the moment, I think they understand that it is about caring. It is about, you know, teaching discipline, teaching the idea of working hard in that.
But what I'm saying, you shouldn't have to explain that to people, should you?
No, but at the same time, you know, Mrs. Garrett, who has kept book for us for the last couple of years, done a wonderful job. She sent me an email, and she just said that I think a lot of times people don't, they don't hear that part of it. You know, they don't hear the encouragement and the constant, you know, the coming off the floor and giving kids that hey, great job in there, keep working, all that kind of stuff. And they don't hear that. And I also take a look at, I think people are just by nature remember the negatives. You know, I'm a little sometimes critical of officiating, but it's like, you know, people get hung up on one or two bad calls in a game, but they don't look at the entirety game thinking, how many calls did they get right? How many times did they do it the right way? And so I think people do have a tendency, for whatever reason, is we want to focus on those things that are negative in nature. But, yeah, it's one of those things I continue to work on. And I remember listening to a long time ago talking to a coach, and he was talking about Don Shula when he coached the Miami Dolphins and how calm on the sideline he always was. And then one of the players that they're interviewing said, come visit our locker room sometime, because he's not that calm. And that's one of the things I kind of took with me, going, you know, there's a time and a place to get on kids. And I try to do that. I'm not real good at it yet. I've only been coaching now for like 30 years, so I'm still learning. But it's one of those things that you got to give kids the respect and say, look, there's a time and place if I need to let you know how I'm feeling about something. And maybe in front of, you know, 700, 800 people at home crowd, you're not a great place to do it.
Did you hear, we had John Elder on, I think it was last week, and he brought up this great point that I didn't think about. And by the way, did you hear the story John Elder said about when he was coaching with Pat and John Elder? They were talking about something, and John Elder, it was basically a decision-making type of thing, and John Elder said to Pat, he's like, well, you're the head coach, and Pat looked at him and said, and don't you forget it. But I digress. John Elder brought up this point about kind of the culture change that he saw. And I thought it was a really interesting observation. You know, he talked about, and you probably can relate to this, you know, growing up in when he first started coaching in the 60s and the early 70s, he said basically it was dad that went to the game, right? It was just dad. Mm-hmm. He went to the game to watch son play. This is before Title IX. And then basically as we go along from year to year, era to era, well, then mom starts coming to the games, right? Grandma, one set of grandparents starts coming to the games, right? Other set of grandparents comes to the game. Maybe your uncle or aunt, they're coming to the game. So like instead of one set of eyes on the kid and one set of eye on the coach and then the relationship between said coach and said kid, instead of one set of eyes, there were seven or eight now. you know, my kind of just micromanaging that situation of that kid. I think that was a pretty telling comment, but really how the culture has changed.
And to take that even further is, you know, when I was in high school way back in the 1980s, you went to summer league games and the gyms were empty. Other than the players playing, the gym was empty. And now you go to some of these summer league games and it's like watching games in December. You know, you have fans there, you have, you know, it's just like, it's kind of bizarre. You know, I can understand the idea when you have younger kids and having to take parents having to go and drop them off anyway. But, when you go some even times to Orient Summer League, you know, there's like 200 people in the gym watching a summer league game. And I think there's sometimes where you just want to have that situation where it's just players and coaches and not everybody. A lot of people always think I have closed practices. I don't allow parents in for whatever reason. The reason I initially had closed practices was simply because I want to be able to coach your kid the way I need to coach him, and it's not helpful having sometimes the parents around. But I kind of changed that philosophy as I got a little older, saying, okay, I tell you what, I have no problem with parents coming in, but I'm going to put you to work. So you're not sitting there just watching. You can help run drills. You can get involved in the process so you can understand what we're doing. But it's tough, and I think you do see more and more of that where everything the kids are doing is being supervised by somebody. And sometimes, like I said, I think you just need coaches and players in the gym by themselves.
Yeah, as we wind up kind of our segment with Mercer County, this was a post on your the basketball account on Facebook. With the Board of Education's acceptance of my resignation as the Mercer County head boys basketball coach last night, I want to extend my deepest thanks to the district, the faculty, the parents, coaches, and most of all, the many players that have had privilege to coach over the past 8 years. When I arrived at Mercer County, I wasn't sure what to expect, but what I found were student athletes that were willing to listen, work hard, and who wanted to get better. I found parents that wanted the basketball program to achieve great things and were willing to help in any way possible. And I found coaches that would do anything that was needed to get the program to take the next step. I will treasure my 8 years as a Golden Eagle and will follow them in the coming years. Best wishes to all, except those few times each year when our paths cross. And of course, you're talking about when Sherrard plays Mercer County. That's a pretty nice thing to say leaving.
Yeah, it's tough. And I was writing that the other night, and it's weird because you just start thinking about all the kids that you come in contact with. And that's sometimes when I take a look back on when I didn't get rehired at Sherrard 9 years ago or 10 years ago, what it's been, and now I thought, you know, what am I going to do now? And it is when you come down here, you start thinking about the kids that you come in contact with, whether it be the Brett Andersons, the Tanner Dunns, the Tanner Bensons, the Wood Brothers, Ty Taylor. You take a look at Tanner Matlick, and you can go so through on and on and on. And this year's team, like I said, a very special team to me that I'll think about quite often in the next couple of years and beyond. And it's just one of those things that I look at it now when I look back on getting fired from Sherrard, where I thought at the time is the worst thing that could possibly happen to me as a coach. I now think, you know what? It worked out really great. I got to come down here and meet a whole new group of kids, and they've just been fantastic kids through and through.
All right, talking with Brian Hutton this morning as he heads back to the Sherrard sidelines. We'll talk about that right after this on WRMJ and WRMJ.com.